That's all right.
All right, well, welcome everyone to our lectionary lunch. Very happy to have everybody here. And we are today on the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, the readings, I think, 10 days hence, right? And it's Isaiah 55. This whole chapter is great, but this particular reading is verses 6 through 9. All right, so we will go through the text as is the custom, and then hopefully we'll have a few minutes to talk a little bit about how you might think about preaching on this text. So we're going to begin at verse 6, and there is actually a nice kind of a break in thought between 5 and 6, between the two halves of the chapter here. Dir shu Yahweh behimatzeo kera'uhu b'yoto karov. Seek Yahweh. Now, in his being found. So notice that you start out with an imperative. All right, simple call imperative. Seek Yahweh. In his being found. Here you have a nifal infinitive from matzah. All right, to find. So this is to be found. The bait, I am interpreting it as temporal. All right, so a better English translation, while he can be found or while he may be found. some suggest there is such a thing as I'm going to give you the technical term, it's called a tolerative nifal. All right, wow. So that you can translate it with this nuance, while he allows himself to be found. All right, wow. Which gives a slightly different meaning to this whole clause. So seek Yahweh while he allows himself to be found or while he can be found. Follows with another imperative. Kera, who, again, a call imperative from Kara. Call on him. Notice the object suffix. Call on him. And now we have another infinitive from Haya. Bih yoto karo. Call upon him in his being near, or again, temporal, better English translation, while he is karov, while he is near. All right? Now I'll come back and talk about it. It's a very interesting verse as we go through here. Okay, verse 7. Ya'azov rasha darko, ve'ish aven mach shevotav, ve'yashov el Yahweh v'rachamehu, ve'el Eloheinu ki yarbe lisloach. Let the wicked person, Rasha is the subject, and so notice that since verse 6 we have these imperatives, I'm interpreting the ya'azov, which is a call prefix verb, as a adjusive. So again, notice with the imperative he exhorts in verse 7, he continues this kind of exhortation language. Let the wicked one forsake darko. Let the wicked one forsake his way. In other words, repent and change the way you're living. All right? Ve'ish, and a man of aven, a man of iniquity. We would probably translate it better as a sinful man and a sinful person. See? So let the wicked one forsake his way, and now understand the same verb, ya'azov, and let the sinful man forsake machshevotav, his plans or his thoughts. Probably maybe plans is as good a gloss as any. From chashav is to think. Notice that verb form. This is a very nice thing that Hebrew often does. Chashav is the root to think, to suppose, to consider. You form a noun very often by adding a mem in front of it. And here you have the plural feminine, machshevotav, with the third masculine singular suffix, his plans. All right. Now again, adjusive, veyashov from shuv, and let him return el Yahweh, to Yahweh. See, let him return to Yahweh, virachamehu, and he will have mercy on him. Notice that this is a pl from racham. Alright, notice how you can figure out the subject actually changes from Yasov. See, it's talking about the sinful man. Let him turn to the Lord. And he, namely the Lord, or Yahweh, will have mercy on him, the sinful man. Alright. Ve'el Eloheinu, and to his God, for, now notice this construction, Yarbeh is a hiphil from the root rava. In the call, it means to be great. In the hiphil, it would be mean to make great or to make numerous, to exalt. And notice then you have another infinitive, lisloach, again a call infinitive from salach, to pardon or to forgive. And so literally it's he acts in a great way to forgive. Now notice we have this is very similar in construction that you often see with the hiphil of asaf, to add. You know, he added to do something. So in English you make the infinitive into the verb, all right, and translate the yarbeh as an adverb. So, for he forgives abundantly. See, and that's really a nice way to a beautiful description. See, let him turn to Yahweh, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he forgives abundantly. See, okay, verse 8, Hilo. Machshavotai, machshavotekem. Velo dar kekem, derakai ne'um Yahweh. For not are my thoughts, machshavotav. See, notice we're getting the repetition of vocabulary from verse 7. For not are my thoughts your thoughts. Alright. Again, notice how the speaker has changed. It's as if remember when you're reading prophecy, Origen even warns us of this. You have to be really careful of who's actually speaking. So now it seems as if Yahweh himself is speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says Yahweh, Ne'um Yahweh. Alright? He continues in verse 9 then. Ki gahu shamayim me aretz. Again, Gavha is from, this is a call, perfect, alright, third person plural from Gavha, for they are high, the heavens from the earth, okay, so notice heavens is a subject, and so in English we'd something like, for as the heavens are high from the earth, came, thus or so are, derakai, my ways high from Darkekem, your ways. U'machshavotav, and my plans from machshavotekem, from your plans. Alright? Kind of a very interesting... Now, how do you preach on something like this? Alright, let me kind of just give you some thoughts that are still rather inchoate, so my good friend can correct and clarify for me when I'm done. I'm talking about Jeff, you guys, by the way. Alright. Verse 6, when you're a reader, I mean, if you're kind of reading this carefully, seek Yahweh while he can be found, or while he allows himself to be found, call on him while he is near. It's kind of an extraordinary thing, because notice that the prophet is making this assumption about Yahweh that he's near. Alright? Now, very often, people think in terms of God's nearness. I don't know if I have this right, but people, you know, assert the truth. Yes, of course God's near. God is everywhere. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. The trouble with that is, I think, that it doesn't help us too much. It's not exactly gospel, see? Because, notice, we say that God is everywhere, and yet we're still trying to find Him. We always ask the question, where is He? It's a very interesting kind of thing in my mind that the truth that God is everywhere turns out to be almost the same thing as saying God is nowhere. You see? And so, he seems to be saying something different. And it raises the question, in my mind, where is he talking about? Seek him while he allows himself to be found. Well, where is that and when is that? See? It's a huge question. And all of a sudden, we find out that that's a really relevant question for us to ask. You know? Very often, people assert God's omnipresence as if, oh, that's good news and that's all we need. But again, not necessarily so. It doesn't necessarily help us. That's kind of what I'm thinking right now, okay? Notice then what he says about this God who is near. It's kind of interesting in verse 7, because now he talks to the wicked. Let the wicked one forsake his way, and the sinner his plans, and let him turn to Yahweh. Why? Look at Yahweh. This near Yahweh, he will forgive him. He'll have mercy, racham. And he pardons abundantly. Alright, so notice the prophet has all these assumptions about the kind of God who is near. Alright? And what's interesting now is the turn that you get at verse 8, Yahweh near. All of a sudden, Yahweh himself starts talking. My thoughts, my plans aren't your plans, and your ways are not my ways. See, and now, as high as the heavens are from the earth, that's the difference in the way we think and the way we act. All right? So, Yahweh's close and he talks, and yet now he reminds us how big the gap is between us and God. So again, you kind of have this irony and tension in the text. So, what is left out of this reading, okay, is the next verse, which you all know. Ki kasher yered hageshem. For as the rain comes down, v'hasheleg min hashamayim, and the snow from heaven, v'shama lo yashu, and to there does not return, ki'im, but rather, here va, it saturates, or waters et ha'aretz, the earth, v'holida, that's the hifil yalad, and makes it produce, v'hitzmiach, again a hifil from zamach, and makes it bud, and natan zera, and it gives seed to the zoreah sower, and lechem, food to the eater, Cain. Thus, yihyeh will be devari, my word, which yetze mipi, comes from my mouth, lo yashuv elai reikam, it will not return to me reikam, empty-handed. Ki'im, but rather, asah, it certainly will do et asher chafatzti, what I desire. And hitzliach, it will prosper where shalachtiv, I send it. Alright, so, I mean, when you're thinking about this sermon, and, you know, God is everywhere, okay, but what good does that do us? It's kind of like, this is a very rough analogy. When you really love someone, and you want to know whether they love you, what they think about you, and they say, of course I love you. I love everyone. That doesn't do you much good, does it? It's like, well, that's not what I want to hear. I want to hear you love me more than you love anyone else. See? Well, that's kind of like God's omnipresence. If God's everywhere, well, okay, what good does that do me? Well, notice that here the prophet says there is a place where he may be found. And so, in a sermon, I think you want to raise this kind of issue and get people yearning for that answer, you know, so that the problem is, yeah, God is everywhere, but he seems to be nowhere. Right. Now see, the answer is kind of also in the text as Yahweh himself speaks. And then you have this assertion by him in verse 10, hey, my word accomplishes what I want it to accomplish. And so, you know, Isaiah must have been a great Lutheran, see, because it's very important for our theology, you know, this whole understanding of our sacramental theology, that, of course, we can talk about God's presence in the Lord's Supper in general terms because he's everywhere. But no, we say more than that. He has made himself available in Holy Communion and in the proclamation of the Word and in baptism. So, he, you know, where do we find him? Well, we find him in Christ incarnate, you know, the Word made flesh, and in this Word which he actually gives to us in the sacraments. And so, you know, whenever we have doubts about where God is or what God's disposition is for us, and when we need racham, mercy and forgiveness, where do we go? We go to Christ, and we go to the proclamation of the Word of God and the promise that He will be with us and in us through these means that He has set up. And so, you know, in a sermon, we can finally direct people to this answer and hopefully, you know, help them to see, ah, this is why communion is so central. This is why our preaching takes on the kind of character that it does, because it is in that that the Lord Christ comes near to us who are, you know, seeking for the merciful and gracious God. So, you know, while he allows himself to be found, we direct people there. So, that's it. So that's a great text to kind of talk about those issues and talk to those issues with our people.